You turn this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 17. The armies of the Philistines and the Israelites had gathered in the Valley of Edah, and the Philistine champion Goliath had come forth and challenged the Israelites to bring a man before him to fight him to decide the outcome of the battle. And David had done that. He had come forward and had slain the champion of the Philistines, Goliath. And Israel had won a great victory. And beginning reading in verse 57, and as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite." And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. The definition of a friend is a person whom one loves and trusts, a close companion or a comrade. And the reality of friendship is that it's a person that you can actually share things with, a person that understands you, a person that cares about you. And it's a word that's often made trivial in our daily lives. We might call an acquaintance a friend. We might call someone that we like and know slightly as a friend when the relationship is yet too shallow. And in a sinful world, people often use the term friend for their own ends. Someone might want to be a friend because they can get something out of them. Proverbs 19:6 says that every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. And another portion of Proverbs also says that the wealthy have many friends. But true friendship is really hard to find. Even those who are famous, even those who are well known, have few friends. The astronaut John Glenn once related the story of how on a camping trip they gathered around the fire one night and the conversation came to friendship. And the question was asked, "How many people do you know that you really truly trust?" And these were all men of some renown, in like Glenn, who everyone seemed to know. But these men, they found that when they really started thinking about true friendship, that they could number a true friend on the fingers of one hand. Because a true friend is something that's hard to find. Napoleon Bonaparte once said of friendship that he cared about a man only as long as that man was useful to him. And that's really the attitude of a sinful world. And like that or not, that's how it is. Give men gifts and they're your friends. Be of use to them and they're your friends. And if they can bask in the light of your fame and get into a photograph with you, then you're your friend. They're your friend. But where are they when you really need a friend? Perhaps the greatest friendship between humans in the Bible was this friendship between Jonathan and David. As the Bible says, that Jonathan's soul was knit with David, and he loved him as himself, as his own soul. And this was something that might be unusual in the world's eyes, that the son of a king would befriend the son of a shepherd. they truly loved him, and he loved David as his own soul. And this is repeated twice more in chapter 18, verse 3, and chapter 20, verse 17, that Jonathan loved David as his own soul, that his soul was knit with David. And we find in verse 4 of chapter 18 that Jonathan bestowed his riches upon David. It says in verse 4, "And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, and even his sword, and his bow, and to his girdle." So he was willing to give his all in his friendship for David. And he was also willing to stand by David and to do whatever David asked, because we find as we read through scripture that his father, the king, became fearful of David, became angry with David, and became really David's enemy. And yet Jonathan stood by David, and all that David wanted, Jonathan was willing to do. When there was an issue between David and Jonathan about whether Saul actually wanted David to be killed, they set up a plan whereby Saul, David could find out. And when we go to chapter 20, we read in verse 4, after they had agreed on this plan to find out whether Saul actually was going to kill David, it says, "Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee." So he was willing to do whatever David wanted him to do. And he was willing to stand up to his father, even though that put his own life in danger, as we see in later in chapter 20, that Saul actually threw a javelin at Jonathan to kill him. And yet, through all this, Jonathan stayed true to David, and he was willing to put David first before himself. If we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 23, and we'll read verses 15 through 18. "And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth." So here was the son of the king, the eldest son, the rightful heir, and yet knowing God's will and seeing what was happening, Jonathan was willing to step aside and put David first and let David be king instead of himself. So we see through these verses that Jonathan was a true friend of David. It was someone that David could count on, and someone that put David ahead of himself in the very important things. And when we look at the friendship of Jonathan and David, we might think, David had such a friend in Jonathan. Truly, Jonathan might be the epitome of friendship, and that there might never be a friend such as Jonathan. But we find in John chapter 15, in verses 12 through 16, that there's a greater friend than Jonathan. Verse 12 of John 15. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. We had this friend from all of eternity. Our friendship with Jesus is an eternal friendship, one that had no beginning and would have no end. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." So when God in eternity chose his elected ones, that was the moment that we became Christ's friends. He befriended us. The Son of God befriended sinners.
Amen.
Jesus in his lifetime was derogatorily called the friend of publicans and sinners, and that's what he was. But it was not derogatory. It was a sign of God's love, of his love for us. For we find that Jesus, like Jonathan bestowing his riches upon David, giving David his robe, his garments, his sword, Jesus has bestowed upon his friends his riches.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." As Jonathan gave David his robe, his garments, his sword, Jesus has bestowed upon us the robe of his righteousness, the garments of his salvation. He has given us the sword of the Word of God that we might go forth. So he has bestowed upon us his riches and all that he had. Philippians 2:6-8 tells us, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So Jesus has given all these things, all of his riches, he's given to us, his friends. And Jesus showed that his love for his friends in the greatest way that it's possible for a friend to love another friend. John 15:13 tells us, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Although Christ's friendship had been from all eternity, as God's love was for his elect, we in our sins were the enemies of God. Romans 5:6-8 tells us, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
Amen.
And he did this willingly, and he did it even with joy. As Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For he loved us so much, he was so much our friend, that he took our sins upon himself." And willingly he did this. Jonathan would have died for David, but his death could have done nothing for David's sin.
Wow.
But Jesus could die for the sins of his people. As Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:24, who hath his own self borne our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And his friendship still goes on for us, even in heaven, as it says that Hebrews tells us that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And that if we sin, we have an advocate in heaven, according to 1 John 2:1. So this friendship of Jesus far exceeds the friendship of Jonathan. And it's a true friendship, and a friendship that will always be ours, and a friendship that has been shown in the greatest way, in that he went to the cross for us. He died for us. Now, we also have a side to that friendship. As Jonathan loved David with all his soul, we should love our friend Jesus with all of our soul.
Amen.
Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And then 1 John 4:10 tells us that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. As Paul wrote to the Galatians, we should be able to say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who cared for me and gave himself for me. And as Jonathan gave David his possessions, are we willing to give Christ our possessions, our time, our resources? Have we put everything at Jesus' disposal? Or are we holding back something? Are we being Jesus' true friend and giving all that we have? And are we willing to give to others who are in need? And that's one reason why we're to work and gain wealth. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And 1 John 3:16-17 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and ought we to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? As Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Are we willing to do whatever Jesus asked of us? Jonathan was willing to do whatever David asked him to do. But are we, like Paul, willing to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And as Jonathan put David first, above himself, are we willing to put Jesus first? Jonathan said to David, thou shalt be king, and I shall be next unto thee. But have we said to Jesus, you shall be king my life, I am next, your will first, my will second?
Amen.
Do we, along with John the Baptist, say, he must increase, but we must decrease? And do we have faith, total faith in God? Do we believe his word and his promise? In chapter 15 of Genesis, God told Abraham that he would have an heir born of his own body. That he told Abraham to look to the heavens and behold, his seed would be as numerous as the stars that fill the sky. And Genesis 15:6 says of Abraham, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it for him to him for righteousness. And James wrote that by faith, that, well, in Hebrews it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he receiveth him as a figure. And then James wrote, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. So we believe truly that all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. Is our faith unwavering? At all times, are we a good friend, a faithful friend to our faithful friend? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently thank him. And are we the friends of God in doing what God wants us to do, in being of service to God? For verse 16 of John 15 tells us that he has chosen us to do a work, to bear fruit. So are we bearing fruit for Jesus? For Jesus is our true friend. We often sing the hymn, of what a friend we have in Jesus, and just some phrases from that song. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. That reminds you of Isaiah 53:4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Another phrase from that song is, have we trials and temptations? And Hebrews tells us, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Another phrase from that hymn is, do thy friends despise, forsake thee? And Hebrews 13:5 says, for he is dead, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can we find a friend so faithful? Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And it says in the song, are we weak and heavy laden? And the words of our friend to us is, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A friend from eternity, a true friend and a faithful friend, we can always count on Jesus. Can Jesus always count on us?
Amen.